All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. It's me, Lane, and I'm not alone today.
Oh, hello there, everybody. Guess who's back?
Jordan's back. What up?
Yeah, it's college football's back, and that means that I'm back because that's what I care about the most is college football, and college football's back. Lane, did you hear that? College football's back.
College football's back?
And that means the Big Ten is finally going to play. I can't wait.
I'm ready for it, man. Because
college football's back.
It's back?
Yeah. I didn't know if you knew that. Just wanted to get that out there. Didn't know if you knew that. I'm a little giddy about it.
I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready to see what happens this season, man.
It's going to be a very interesting year for sure with all the COVID stuff.
Yeah, this is definitely be one for the record books.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. So we'll, welcoming Jordan back, we're going to go ahead and start off the show a little bit. But before I do that, I wanted to talk about some news for our podcast here. We have decided that we are going to, and we are offered to join and partner with Watershed Voice, which is a local news source for St. Joe County. And we, after partnering with Alec, their editor, we had discussed we're going to be basically becoming their sports guys.
Yeah, we're going to kind of touch on their local sports for all of St. Joe County. So, what, Three River, Sturgis, Mendon, Constantine, Centerville, Colon, Baroque. Did I get them all? Is that kind of it?
Did you say Pigeon?
Oh, and White Pigeon. How could I forget that? I work like 5 minutes from there.
Pigeon also. What is wrong with you?
Well, you know.
It's your first
I'm
day
rusty.
Back.
I'm rusty. I got to get back in the game.
It's your first day back. We'll give you.
And also, it's really exciting. You know, it was just kind of came out of nowhere for us. Lane texted me one day and said, "Hey, can I call you?" And immediately, like, "Well, this is 2020. We don't call people here. What's going on?" And then we talked about it for a couple days, and then spoke with Alec, and we think it's a kind of a cool venture for us and for them as well. I mean, like Lane said, they're St. Joe County's newest news source, and they don't have anybody to talk about sports. And sports is a big thing in this county. So yeah, we thought it was a good opportunity, and we're going to kind of see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Just very excited to be a part of the Watershed Voice family. So if you haven't yet, make sure you take a look at Watershed Voice, either on their social media pages. If you haven't yet, also maybe look into subscribing to them. I believe you can get a subscription for as low as like $6.50 a month, something like nice. That. So that's,
and it's not bad.
No, not bad at all. Decently affordable, a couple bucks a week, and you've got all your local news.
And one thing about Watershed is they're very, very prevalent on social media.
Yes.
I mean, with now it's 2020, like a newspaper that you print off is so old school. Anything that Watershed has, you can get right on Facebook, Twitter. It's right there at your fingertips immediately. So
yeah,
that's a great little advantage they have.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one reason I really enjoy looking at Watershed. I know I've got, I believe, a yearly subscription right now, so it's pretty cool. I really like it. Yep. New news source, and it's pretty in depth. So
yeah,
if you haven't yet, take a look at Watershed. But also, if you haven't yet, make sure you look at the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast on Facebook and Twitter.
And if you haven't yet, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Like, seriously.
You're killing us.
Yeah.
We've got a new logo, thanks to Watershed. Pretty sharp. Yeah. Jordan gave some nice suggestions on that, so I want to say kudos to Jordan.
And I think it turned out pretty cool.
Yeah.
Part of the perks of a new partnership, I guess.
Exactly. So with that, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to preview the show a little bit. So like Jordan said, we're going to talk a little bit about high school sports. I'm going to go over week two matchups for all the St. Joe County high school football teams, varsity teams. Then we're going to do a little preview of their week three matchups. Some pretty big matchups looking over to this next week.
Yeah, there'll be a couple of interesting things that I see here, too.
Then, of course, Jordan's back, which means, I don't think if you knew this, college football's back.
College football's back.
So we're going to talk some Big Ten, our thoughts on the Big Ten schedule release. Maybe talk a little bit about who kind of got the benefit and who kind of got the the bad end of the schedule release.
Spoiler alert, you shouldn't file, you shouldn't threaten a lawsuit against the Big Ten before the schedule comes out.
Yeah. that might be a little of a hint.
Shame on you, Nebraska.
Exactly. And then we're going to speak a little bit. We're going to a future podcast that we've done last season, but new for Waterstead listeners, going to do a Big Ten deep dive. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to close with a Lions 26-23 victory.
And so you feel the upbeat in Lane's voice. I feel like the last couple episodes that I've been listening to, he's a little down and depressed.
I was a little down. I was a little down.
There's some optimism and there's some hype in it.
And there is. And I've got some interesting stats about our next few opponents, which don't want to get excited because it's the Lions, but might be some reason for excitement.
Yeah, we'll see.
But then we'll just close this puppy down and we'll go from there.
Yep. So one other thing before we get into the meat and potatoes here, we did talk, we're going to try to keep these shorter, between a half hour, 45 minutes, because one thing we've heard is the longer they are, the harder they are to listen to. So we are going to try to keep them condensed, and you may see a few extra podcasts here and there, just to help fuel your Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards needs, but no guarantees on that. But we are going to try to keep them shorter, and there's a potential you may see a random episode pop up here and there. Yep. So,
yep, exactly. So I think we'll jump kind of quickly into the news real quick.
Yeah, it was one news topic right now, I guess.
Well,
right?
There's one, and then there's one kind of a breaking today. The Tennessee Titans had 8 players break out with COVID.
I did see something about that.
So now basically Roger Goodell shut down all football operations for the Titans until Saturday. Sounds like the Vikings might be getting shut down too.
Yeah, you would think with contact tracing they'd have
exactly. to. Exactly. So that's definitely going to be interesting. Hopefully it's not as serious as it's looking right now. But I don't know. I think that's the first test for the NFL, and if they can handle it and they can handle it well, I mean, I would feel relatively confident about it the rest of the season. I think MLB's done a really good job, and the NBA has done a phenomenal job.
Well, yeah, the NBA's bubble was pretty good. The MLB had a scare there early on, but they did good with it. The highest news of the day for that is I don't have any Vikings or Titans players on my fantasy.
You see, and I'm a fantasy junkie, so I have 4 teams, so I have players all over the place. So it definitely dropped some the Tennessee defense today.
Yeah, I would say so. And then what our other news topic we had written down here was, along with the Big Ten coming back, their little sister, the Pac-12, who just follows everything the Big Ten does, has announced they're going to come back. And what was a 7-game schedule? Is that what they announced?
Yeah, and it's starting in November.
I want to say they're a week or two after what the Big Ten does, and they're more or less following the exact same guidelines as to what the Big Ten is.
And the MAC's back too, aren't they?
I heard the MAC was back, but I don't think that they have a plan in place yet. I could be wrong about that because, honestly, this past weekend's games were pretty good, so that's really all I focused on with it. But I know they were talking about coming back, but I have not seen a firm plan on exactly what they're doing. So
yeah, I don't know. So that'll remain to be seen. Be kind of interesting to see how that plays out the next couple weeks. You did mention some interesting games this weekend. Holy crap, Mississippi State, Costello, yeah, no holy kidding. Moly.
I always thought Mike Leach's offense would be interesting when he got some really, really good athletes, and I think we have a little bit of a taste of what that is.
That's put the SEC on notice because they hammered LSU.
Yeah, well, LSU did lose an entire team to the NFL.
Yeah, they lost an entire NFL roster.
Yeah, so, but we'll get into that more as the college football season roars on, because we have, what, 3 weeks till Big Ten? Is that what it is now?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're 3 weeks away now.
It's gonna be epic.
It's gonna be awesome.
I think with that, we can probably go into the local stuff, don't you think?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
All righty, everybody. We're going to get started on our local sports segment. We're going to start out kind of just right now. The first week, we'll hit on a lot of the football games, and we will sprinkle in some volleyball matchups, soccer, and as the year goes on, boys and girls basketball, whatever we can find that's going to draw everybody in. We'll try to hit and be equal and fair to everybody. But as of right now, the hot thing out there is the football, and this being our first episode, we thought we'd dip our toe in and do what we're familiar with, which is football. So we'll run down last week's games here. Scores, and then Lane's got a few stats and tidbits for here and there for everything. So the first thing we have listed, being that we're both from Three Rivers, you know, kind of works. Three Rivers at Vicksburg. Not a pretty game by any means. Vicksburg blows Three Rivers out 43-0. From what I saw, looked like the game was over at halftime, and Vicksburg kind of let off the throttle in the second half. But definitely a rough game for the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, looking over that game, Jordan, just doing some quick run through on some stats, you would think that kind of a score, there would be a pretty lopsided turnover battle. But in all reality, it wasn't. I mean, Three Rivers had one turnover. Vicksburg didn't have any. The one killer, though, is it looks like Vicksburg's defense was nasty.
Yeah, Three Rivers only had like 90 yards of offense or 60 yards of offense?
60 yards total offense. It's rough. Four first downs, so it's gonna be real hard to contend when you're not able to keep up on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you got to be able to move the ball a little bit.
Some leaders, Gavin Buter, if I'm hopefully pronouncing your name right, 4 for 13, 19 yards. Gavin was also the top rusher for 32 yards. Drew Brown was the leading receiver, 1 reception for 15 yards. For Vicksburg, though, Jacob Conklin looked very efficient, 12 for 14, 181 yards, 3 touchdowns. Elijah Bombick, 5 carries, 51 yards. And Toby Stock, 7 receptions, 103 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, now, it looked like the Conklin kid from Vicksburg accounted for just about every single thing they did because he kicked all the PATs also.
Yeah.
So Vicksburg's got a horse from the sounds of it.
Exactly. So, I mean, and if you're a fantasy football guy like us, Toby Stock, that's some good fantasy numbers right there. Just
saying. No kidding. So our next game on our list, the Sturgis Trojans played the Allegan Tigers. They went on the road, got a 36-6 win. Looked like pretty easy fashion. Allegan, even since back in the day when I was in school, was not one of the most competitive in football. And looks like Sturgis has got a solid team bouncing back from last year's team that only won one game. So they started out the year 2-0 with wins over Three Rivers and Allegan, and they got a tough one next week though, which we'll preview here in a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, and we talked about the turnover battle for the Three Rivers game. This one was a little bit different. Allegan had 4 turnovers, yeah. Fumbled 6 times, only got two of them. The time of possession was very much in Allegan's favor, though, 27 minutes to about 20 and a half for Sturgis. So, I mean, when Sturgis had the ball, they took care of it. Overall, penalties, Sturgis had 13 penalties for 110 yards. Most games, that'd be a backbreaker for some teams. Yeah. But like I said, Sturgis was like highly efficient. Riley Kane, 2 for 3, 41 yards, 1 touchdown. Jacob Thompson, 2 carries for 63 yards, 1 touchdown. And Roman Robinson, 2 receptions, 73 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yeah, and I think Allegan runs the wing tee. At least they used to. So the time of possession thing, that'll kind of
hit you. Oh, yeah.
They used to run the wing tee. I would assume it's still the same.
Yeah, used to run that from Marcellus. So we used to run that puppy. Only won 2 games in my varsity career. So there you go.
Next on the list, we have Centerville that traveled to White Pigeon. Cool little note here. White Pigeon, one of the local farmers, put some bleachers in a field so that fans could sit in the bleachers and still watch the games and not be on the school property. That was kind of a cool gesture, I thought, just so that parents could watch their kids play. But sounds like this was quite the game to watch. 14-8 final. Centerville wins it on a late touchdown. I had a little bit of insider information here that one of the people I work with, his boys play for Centerville, and he said that it was kind of a, from what he understood, was let's draw a play up in the sand on the goal line and see what happens. And the play, it ended up working, and it gave him the 14-8 win in a St. Joe County battle.
That's, those are always the fun ones to watch.
Yeah. So that moves Centerville to 2-0. White Pigeon Falls to 1-1 on the year.
And I, please forgive me, I do not, I thought I had stats on this game, but I actually do not have too much.
Scratch that, I was wrong. White Pigeon is 0-2 after losing to Mendon the previous week. So I was wrong at that. I looked at the wrong name. So 0-2 for White Pigeon, and Centerville moves to 2-0. Next on our list is the Constantine Falcons. Started out the year with a loss to Schoolcraft last week, and then this far, 2 weeks ago, I guess now. And then they bounced back this week with a win against Parchment. Parchment came in, I believe, 0-1, and with a loss to Saugatuck. So this was a conference matchup for Constantine because they play in the SAC Lakeshore. These conferences have changed so much in the last few years, I can't keep track of any of them. But if anybody's looking for a high school football website, michiganfootball.com, excellent resource to use. They have everything you need. So Constantine gets the win, improved 1-1 with a 28-1 win over Parchment. Lane, you got anything for us on this one?
Yeah, looking it over, Constantine absolutely just dominated total yardage, 387 to 183. Rushing yardage, which is traditional Constantine football, 315 to 31.
Yep, that sounds about right. That's very Constantine.
So, I mean, and sticking with the whole rushing attack, Braden Clark, 230 yards, two touchdowns. Isaac Hall, 34 yards. Caden Hertzman-Serger. Hopefully I'm not murdering your name, man. 21 yards, one touchdown. Devontae Conley, 17 yards. Ty Dumb, 12. And Alex Gross, 1 yard.
So the next game we move into would be the Mendon Hornets. They were at home versus Hartford. Got an easy win, 49-7. Moved them to 2-0 on the year after a win over White Pigeon. And looking forward on their schedule next week, probably not going to be a much different result with what's coming up. We'll touch on that a little bit more, but Mendon moves to 2-0. Lane, what do you got for us here?
Yeah, just kind of lead off, kind of a spoiler. Kendra, my wife, is related to Mendon's stud running back, Jackson Kratzer, which, okay, fun fact, Jackson has the longest touchdown run in MHSAA football history at 99 yards.
Well, it's hard to beat that.
Against my alma mater, Marcellus. Go figure.
nice.
So, really just breaking that down, total yardage, Mendon 402 to 106. Rushing yards, another just onslaught, 383 to 52. Led by, let's see here, Jackson, 131 yards, two touchdowns. Carter Briggs, 98 yards, one touchdown. Jaquan Hodges, 74 yards, two touchdowns. And Chris Dupree, 42 yards. Followed up by Connor Oatley and Eric Fergwin.
So any of these names, if we're butchering any of these, please let us know. We are not we're not claiming to be experts at this at all with these names, and unfortunately we're not as tied into these high school programs as we'd like to be, so if we're butchering a name, we do apologize, and send us a message, let us know, we will correct it right away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So moving on, the last two we got here are in the eight man front. Anybody that doesn't know eight man football, for lower enrollment schools, we have Burr Oak and Colwyn in this for the county. Burr Oak put a whooping on Tecontcha to go to 2-0, 54-12. Everything I'm reading and seeing sounds like Burr Oak is one of the better B conference eight-man teams in the state. They sounds like have a run at a state title in the eight-man this year.
Yeah, but yeah, you and I were talking a little bit before this podcast started, and yeah, it sounds like eight-man for St. John County is pretty promising. So
yeah, because I believe Colin made a pretty good run while I'm looking at. And last year,
they made it to state, didn't they, last year? Because it was up in the dome.
I'm pulling it up here right now. Give me just a second. They went undefeated and won the state title.
Yeah, there you go.
In the A division of eight man.
Yeah, so there you go.
Scored over 630 points last year.
Yeah. Yikes. Good Lord. Ohio, yep. They're the Ohio State of eight man football.
Yeah, regular season last year, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shutouts.
Sheesh. Yeah, that's awesome.
So moving into Colon, or did you have – you got some stats there on Burr Oak, don't you?
Yeah, just got a couple stats. Burr Oak, Branson Hernandez, 11 for 18, 238 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. He also added 98 yards on the ground with 1 touchdown. Kind of some interesting and some pretty sweet receiving stats. Damian Alts was a leading receiver, 3 receptions, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's a Randy Moss line right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Dominic Hagan, 2 for 30, 1 touchdown. Aiden Calvert, 1 for 13, 1 touchdown. Braden Ledyard, 1 for 17. And then also Damian Alts getting it done on the defensive side, 16 tackles and 1 interception.
Nice. So going into Colon, last week they played Lenawee Christian, I believe is how that's pronounced. Got beat 24-6. So the dynasty that was last year seems to have slumped back a little bit. Go to 1-1 on the year. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what next week brings. Lane, what do you have for us on the Magi?
So, like you said, it was a little bit of a struggle this game. I want to say Lenawee, maybe.
It could be.
392 total yardage to Colon's 100. Passing yards, 201 to -5. So, like we said, it's a little bit of a struggle, a little bit of a slow start for Colon. But like we talked about, they are becoming a powerhouse for A-man football. So I'm not too concerned about that team turning it around.
Yeah, time will tell for sure. So real quick, previewing next week. We'll just run down these games real quick and maybe a couple little thoughts here or there. Three Rivers is at home against Parma, Jackson County Western. Parma is 2-0 with wins over Hastings and Penfield. So Three Rivers looking to get their first win of the season at Armstrong Field next week. Lane, do you have any thoughts there?
No, I think if Three Rivers, they're going to need to turn it around decently quick. Now, I believe this season, though, the MHSAA said everybody makes the playoffs this year, correct?
Yes, every high school team will make the playoff. That's because with it only being, a 6-game season. Yeah. So everybody will play 6 regular season games, and then everybody will make the playoff. And I did see that Three Rivers is a host district for one of the brackets in their division too. So
I mean, it's slow start for Three Rivers. I mean, they're going to have to get it on track pretty quick, but you do have time.
Yep, so. Absolutely. The next game be an interesting one. Sturgis at 2-0, two wins early on. Three Rivers and Allegan. They go to face Pawpaw, the newly minted Red Wolves. Pawpaw's good. Pawpaw's very good. Pawpaw's been good for a while. They're 2-0. Wins over Dowagiac and Otsego. Dowagiac's usually pretty solid. They finished the season 10-2 last year, Pawpaw did. So, and they're one of the top teams in the state in their division. So that'll be a very interesting game and a tough one for the Trojans. It'll really it'll be a good test for them having to go all the way up to Pawpaw also.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a – I think that'll be a fun one to pay attention to.
Yep. Next game we got Centerville is at home versus Cassopolis. I'm trying to pull Cassopolis' stats up here. They are 2-0 as well. Cass has been, we talked about Colon becoming a machine. Cass has been a machine in the last, decade, really. So this could be a real test for Centerville. They're 2-0 as well, but it's going to be a good battle. They're at home. Cass comes into their place.
Yeah, absolutely. That one could be a very early deciding factor in who wins the conference.
Yeah. Like I said, Cass has been a machine for a very long time. Constantine travels to Watervliet. Watervliet is another one of those teams that perennially, a pretty solid team. They did have a couple bad years the last 2 years, but started this year out 2-0. So we'll see. I know Constantine has statistically in the past done fairly well against Watervliet, but we will see what this season brings as the Falcons are 1-1 and Watervliet is 2-0.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's It's fun talk. I think that's going to be another real fun game. Both have decently similar styles, like to run the ball down your throat. So that'll be a good one.
Yeah, and then one I kind of hinted at earlier, Mendon goes to Decatur. And if this was any other Decatur team like the past, I would say they might be in for a game. But Decatur's 0-2 and have not scored a point yet this year. So I
really,
they have no points scored and have allowed 79 in two shutouts to Centerville and Cass. So I have a feeling the Hornets are going to probably roll up a big one this week and get ready for Centerville the following week. Because that doesn't look like Decatur's going to have much in the way this year or this week. So
no,
eight man, we did. First, had struggled finding games, but we were able to locate. Colon is at home versus Camden Frontier, the Redskins. No idea where Camden Frontier is, but they are 0-2 on the year. Losses to Climax and Bellevue. I can't imagine that's the Division I Bellevue, is it? No, it is not. It's a different one. I was going to say, holy crap. But they are 0-2. Colon goes in there. Looking to rebound after a tough loss last week.
Yeah, for sure. You know, just going through these games and stuff, man, I really wish this COVID stuff wasn't going on because I would really love to attend at least one of these games, you know?
Yeah. Eight man's a different world, too. It's mm-hmm. kind of similar to arena rules, I guess. But and then Burr Oak, our last game. Oh, no, we have one more. We forgot to write down in here, too. So Burr Oak and the eight man, they travel to Battle Creek, St. Philip. St. Phil's 0-2, so it kind of looks like the juggernaut that is Baroque probably going to roll this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one other game we had was White Pigeon, and Pigeon trying to rebound after two tough losses to Centerville Mendon with Hartford. That road at Hartford, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So Hartford is also 0-2, also gotten beat up on quite a bit, so it might be a good chance for the Chieftains to get their first win of the year.
Yeah, you know, and I think this, even though White Pigeon's 0-2, I definitely don't think that's indicative of the team's talent.
No, very close losses, so that says something about a team when you stay in a game. So
absolutely.
But I think locally wise, that's probably going to wrap us up for this week. Like I said, in the future, we'll try to touch on some other sports as well, but we figured for the first one, we would stick straight to football for now. Lane, you have any other thoughts before we close down the local stuff?
No, like Jordan, you had said that if we've butchered any names or anything like that, or if you hear any stats we're saying that it might be wrong, just give us a shout out and we will be sure to correct that. Like we said, it's our first go-around with high school sports, so we're still a little green at it, but we're going to keep on improving every week.
Yep. So I think we'll take a short break here, and we will get into some Big Ten football.
So you heard the fun intro we did right there.
It's so natural, and it's just so nice.
It's it's back. The Big Ten is back. Did you hear?
I feel cleansed.
You should feel cleansed.
I feel holy after hearing that.
Well, I am an ordained minister, so I'm just.
This is true. He did legally wed me and my wife.
Exactly. So, like we said, Big Ten is back. So Jordan and I are going to real quick run through some thoughts on that Big Ten schedule release.
Oh.
Going to kind of talk about who we thought benefited the most from this release, and who kind of got the shaft.
Got it up the old wazoo.
Up the old wazoo.
You know what the wazoo is.
Right. Got to keep it PG, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm trying. We promised Alec we would try to not be explicit.
One day at a time.
The key word there was try.
Yeah, keywords,
no,
try.
I make no promises.
So with that,
especially if Michigan loses again.
Yeah, Well, spoiler, that might be on here for me.
Easy.
So with that, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to lead off here. And I've got two teams that I really thought got the benefit of the doubt with the schedule release.
Yeah.
And the first one's no shock to anybody. It's Ohio State.
What?
What?
No, come
what?
On.
It's almost like the Big Ten wants Ohio State in the playoff.
I just can't believe that.
It's crazy.
I can't believe that.
I mean, they're Ohio State's toughest game is week two on the road at Penn State, which I don't think are having too many fans. So.
No, the Big Ten came out in their release and said there will be no fans. They're going to have select family.
So, I mean, right there basically nullifies the effect of Penn State.
Right.
And then the second team I kind of jumped over to the West was Minnesota.
Interesting.
I thought they had a pretty favorable schedule. I mean, they open up with Michigan, which that's not going to be easy sledding for them. And then Thanksgiving weekend, they're on the road at Wisconsin. But again, no fans. It's really wide open.
Yeah, I agree with you on Ohio State, and I think that if you're on Twitter, you understand that the entire college football world thinks that Ohio State got the easiest schedule. I mean, they start out with Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana. Their crossovers are Illinois, Nebraska, who, let's be honest, aren't the upper echelon,
mm-hmm.
whereas compared to Michigan, who drew Minnesota and Wisconsin, the two best teams in the West. But my other team that I thought actually had a favorable schedule is I like Wisconsin's schedule.
You know, I had them down as like a schedule light.
Because they start out with Illinois, who I do think will be – Illinois, I think, will be sneaky good. They bring back a ton of talent. And Lovie Smith, you could see it last year. They started to turn things around a little bit. So I think that opener could be a little tough, but it is home. So, I mean, Wisconsin, I imagine, will do Wisconsin things there. And then really they have Nebraska and Purdue until they go to Michigan. And then after that, even they have Northwestern. They have a nice game in front of all their tough games, I guess is what I'm getting at. Illinois before Nebraska. Purdue before Michigan, Northwestern before Minnesota. The toughest part to me is that Minnesota, Indiana, Iowa stretch at the end. But mm-hmm. who knows if there's even football at that point?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to me, that was the only reason I thought that theirs was significantly tougher in Minnesota is the front half of that schedule is laid out perfectly for them.
That's fair.
The big thing about this whole schedule is the format. So it's eight games in 8 weeks. With no buys. And then the ninth is the Champions Week where, you know, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4 down the line, which I do like that. I think that's kind of a cool little twist.
Yeah, it's very high school football-y.
Yeah, I liked it. I kinda hope they keep doing that in the future. It's different. But mm-hmm. so it makes these schedules so fluid because like there's not gonna be a postponed game. It's either you play or it's canceled.
Right.
Because there's no window to make it up. And the reason I did this, because the college football playoff selection is the 20th, I believe, the 21st, one of the two. So they have to squeeze all these games in this small window to be eligible for the playoffs or to get Ohio State in the playoff with what they did. But my thought, that's the biggest part of this. And if you look at the quote-unquote who got screwed, I don't think – kind of like Ohio State got the good end. I'm pretty sure Nebraska should not have threatened to sue the Big Ten because Kevin Warren and Barry Alvarez and them said, oh, really? Well, here's Ohio State and Wisconsin to start the year. Thank you. Come again. That to me is far and away the toughest schedule in the Big Ten just because mm-hmm. of that start. I mean, you play probably most people's pick to be the Big Ten championship game. You play those for two teams first. And then on the other side, and this is not a homer pick, I think Michigan has the toughest schedule on the East. I mean, they drew Minnesota and Wisconsin from the West. They have to go to Indiana. They have to go to Ohio State. They have to go to Minnesota. I mean, obviously no fans. What kind of home road, you know, what's that environment like? But you still play the two best teams from the West along with all the good teams in the East, and most of those are on the road.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm right there with you, Jordan. I've got Michigan as well. And a little backstory, if you haven't listened to us before, obviously Jordan's a Michigan fan. I'm a Michigan State fan. So it pains me to agree with Jordan on Michigan stuff. But
he does it a lot, though. I think he's a closet Michigan fan.
You hush.
But his wife is a Michigan fan, so maybe she's converting him.
No.
Come to the good side. We have cookies.
I do like cookies.
See?
Anyway, so, no, I agree with you. I agree with Jordan. Michigan definitely got a tough schedule. Nebraska definitely got hammered. And then also one I've got is Northwestern. They've got a pretty tough schedule ahead of them. Some of the bigger matchups I have highlighted for them, week two at Iowa, week four at Purdue, week five home against Wisconsin, week seven at Minnesota. Definitely a tough schedule for a team that really struggled last year.
So another piece of this that is evolving day by day, and who knows this, I mean, we're full disclosure, we're recording this on Tuesday. By the time this airs on Thursday, it could be totally different. Players are opting out still. Players are opting back in. I saw that Sean Wade and, what's his name? Wyatt Davis from Ohio State, I believe.
Yep.
Both granted their waiver to play again. Jalen Mayfield at Michigan has been approved to play. Rondale Moore at Purdue has been approved to play. And I believe Rashad Bateman from Minnesota has also gotten his approval.
Yep.
So, I mean, and there's still some big names out there. Like Penn State, what if Micah Parsons decides last minute he wants to come back? I mean, that's huge for them. You get potentially the best player in the conference back.
Mm-hmm.
So these schedules, while we can sit here and say what we want right now, become November 21st, who knows what it could look like? These players could be in and out with one COVID test. I mean, and that's the other part, is the restrictions on what the Big Ten laid out. So a positive COVID test. Now, obviously, they have the rapid testing. So that's part of the reason they can come back and do this. So this rapid test will basically, you can find out day of, it's like a 15-minute result thing. The problem with those is you get a lot of fake false positives out of those because they're not as accurate. So if you get a positive test on a rapid, they have, I think it's, what is it called? The PCT test or something like that. Or it's the more concrete test that you can take. You take that. And if that comes back positive, you're out for 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically, 3 weeks, you're out, no matter what, which is crazy long. Like, the CDC only says 14 days and you can go back to work. But they're out for 21 days with these positive tests. So, I mean, think about if Justin Fields tests positive before the Illinois game on November 28th. He's not playing the Michigan game on December 12th now. He's out, no matter what. Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that could potentially transform not only a Big Ten season, but the entire landscape of college football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The Big Ten's guidelines are so much more strict than all the other conferences, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. The nice thing about the rapid testing is it should effectively eliminate the contact tracing, which is why you've seen a lot of these teams have to postpone games because they're contact tracing, because they can't pinpoint where this came from. If you can rapid test every day, then you can nip the contact tracing, but you don't have to worry about it, because if you get a positive test, okay, you're gone now, leave. And you don't have to worry about who that person's been in contact with. So that's the hope behind it, is that these rapid tests will completely, I shouldn't say eliminate, because there's still always going to be some, but it should help mitigate the contact tracing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So yeah, I'm excited. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm excited, man. I watched college football all day Saturday, and I hate the SEC with a fiery passion, but damn it, it was fun to watch it.
And it was also kind of fun to watch some of the Big 12 programs fall.
Oh man, that was awesome, wasn't it? Oklahoma get beat by Kansas State again. So, yeah, it's great. Oh, and, you know, for all of you guys that are our loyal listeners, we will be doing our Pick'em segment again.
Oh, yes.
In the future. It's going to be a little bit more condensed because, like we said, we want to try to keep these shorter. But we will have our Pick'em segment back. Probably going to strictly focus on Big Ten for this year.
And goalie's staring me right in the face right now. So
yeah, that's the big problem. I have to get my baby back.
Is it your baby though? If you lost last year,
well, it can be what I want it to be, Lane.
Oh, damn it!
So yeah, I don't know what do you so the our deep dive that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. So to really lay that out for if you're not a normal listener, basically our deep dive is just going to be Jordan's going to break down every side of the ball for Michigan, as well as coaching, recruiting, and same. I will do the same for Michigan State. A little bit of a different year for State with Mel Tucker coming in. So yeah, we've got what we say 3 weeks.
Yeah, so, well, today's the 29th, so yeah, we have
3 weeks. So probably, I bet probably the next 2 weeks we'll be recording our deep dive. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. And that might be one of those things where if me and Lane can't line up a timing thing, you might get one of us. You might get me doing a Michigan one. You might get him doing a Michigan State one. That's where those bonus podcasts might come in because we are doing this all remotely now. We've got a new setup where we can record remotely and timing-wise, it just makes scheduling easier for us, but we do both still have full-time jobs and lives and wives and stuff, so it makes it hard to get together for all that. So it may be one of those things where one of us drops a quick 15-20-minute preview thing or something. We don't have it fully worked out yet, but it's going to be fluid, just like everything has to be, because it's 2020, and holy crap, 2020 is crazy.
Exactly. Damn it, we need some consistency.
Yeah, no kidding. I've never wanted a new year more in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What any other thoughts on the Big Ten before we segue into your state of euphoria that I have a feeling you're about to get into?
Nah, man. I'm like you said, I'm ready for some Big Ten football. It's felt weird on Saturdays turning on game day and there's no talk of the Big Ten. So
yes, it definitely sucked. It's time to get back to life as we know it.
Exactly.
Which is talking shit about each other's teams and hating everything that happens.
Watch the swearing, Jordan.
Yeah, that's a little one. That's not a big one. I haven't dropped any F bombs. That's a win.
Yeah. I got yelled at the one time I did that. So
yeah. Well, you know, it happens.
Yeah, details.
So right, I think we'll take a quick little break here again, and we will be back for some Lions talk and to shut this thing down. All right, everybody, we are going to hit our last segment for the week. Lane is super excited to talk about this for a change because his last couple episodes haven't been as upbeat as this one will be. So we are going to talk a little bit about the Lions going on the road and taking down Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals and nothing short of stunning fashion, in my opinion. So, Lane, I guess, why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts, how you're feeling, where you're at, kind of you off the edge of the bridge now, like back to the ledge?
I'm never off the ledge. I'm still nervous. I'm still nervous.
Yeah, you can't ever get off of that.
No. So, like Jordan said, Lions 26-23, last second win against the Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins-led Cardinals team, handing the Cardinals their first loss on the season. Season or games prior, Cardinals, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins looked pretty much unstoppable offensively. I'm not going to say the Lions did stop them because they definitely didn't, but getting Kyler Murray to commit 3 interceptions in a game is pretty big, and it's pretty big if you're the Lions defense.
No, no kidding.
So, and I guess that'll kind of segue into my good, the bad, and the ugly for those guys. The first good thing, the Lions actually got 3 interceptions, which is huge because we haven't gotten a turnover yet all season. Second part of that would be Jeff Okuda actually played decently well. it's hard. You see a lot of Lions Twitter already freaking out about Okudah, saying, "Oh, he's a bust. He's this. He's that." Well, the Lions have absolutely no pass rush.
That's an understatement.
And you're expecting a rookie to play man coverage against Devontae Adams, who's a top five receiver, and DeAndre Hopkins, who is probably the top receiver, for 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And just run around with guys who have probably 2 to 3 inches on you. I think Adams and Okudah are the same height, but DeAndre, you know, is taller. But no, I think Okudah actually started to settle in a little bit better this game. He definitely, his interception he had jumped a route, which there was a side by side of him in that game and then Nebraska last year, and it's an absolutely identical setup. Absolutely identical. I definitely saw a lot of promise with Okudah. Granted, he's still getting beat on routes. I think his biggest issue is he's trying to look for the ball too much. And he's falling a lot for the stutter steps. But these are all coachable things. And right. It's not
he's like, a rookie. And he's a rookie.
Anyway. Exactly. I mean, he's a rookie. He's not. Yes, he's a third pick and he's a corner, so he's expected to produce right out the gate, but he's not Joe Burrow. I mean, the success of our team is not reliant on Jeff Okudah.
Right.
So,
at least it better not be.
Yeah, exactly. And then the third good thing I have is actually another rookie from Ohio State is Jonah Jackson, our guard. He's been lights out for us. Since he started at 121 pass block snaps, he's only given up 4 QB pressures.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yes, and in the run game, he has been an absolute mauler.
As I say, wasn't that kind of his profile coming out? Was he was a mauler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and Logan Sternberg were both considered to be maulers, and Jonah Jackson is absolutely fitting that. I mean, unfortunately. It's a very skill-based award, but I would say Jonah Jackson should be considered for Rookie of the Year so far.
Yeah, it's early, but that's definitely something to consider.
Yeah. So with the good, there's some bad, and then there's some ugly.
it's the Lions. Come on. There's always bad and ugly.
Stop it.
Well, facts, bro.
Facts, bro. So the first bad thing, and it – if you look at the stat line's not horrible, and that was Stafford. I think he was 20 for 29, like 240 in a TD, something like that. So, I mean, not a terrible stat line, but when he's missing right now, he's missing by a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that too. There was a lot of overthrows.
Yeah, it's not close. So you have to start to wonder, is he a little gun-shy? Is it he's still trying to get used to everything, get the kinks ironed out? Because, I mean, granted, if you were to take into consideration where we're at now in the season, you would be going into week 4 of preseason. So,
right.
So you kind of got to think of that. But I don't know. It starts and ends with Stafford. I'm not going to tear him down because if we didn't have Stafford, we saw what happened last year. So,
well, yeah, no doubt. Everybody thought that Jeff Driskel was a stud.
Right. And then he broke his leg. Then David Blau came in and gave us hope, but it wasn't enough. But anyways, yeah. I digress. So then the second bad thing for us again is just there's absolutely no pass rush right now. And when they pressured Kyler, good things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some stats actually that kind of attest to that fact that I'll get to in a little bit. But I know they brought in Jabal Sheard to work out another Patriot shock, to work out to be a pass rusher, but there has been no signing yet. I know we're bringing back Javon Curse this week, so we're going to have to demote somebody to the practice squad. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Lions pass rush. Hopefully they start getting it dialed in more because when they are doing it, you see it's working. I mean, it works. It's a no-brainer. And then the ugly for me, they're kind of tied hand in hand. Big V, I can never pronounce his full name.
I'm not going to try.
He started at right guard for us this week. A lot of people on Twitter were automatically freaking out, which some Lions fans, I swear it's some of the most toxic fan base in sports right now. But
you're not a Michigan fan.
Yeah, true. But he definitely struggled playing guard. He definitely got beat a lot. Lions gave up 4 or 5 sacks last week against Cardinals, as opposed to prior weeks when we looked pretty good on the offensive line. And then lastly, just again, which is systemic of this team, is just drive killing penalties. That just seems to be kind of a Matt Patricia Lions team. They just can't get out of their own way. I think if they can, what you saw this weekend was encouraging. And being on the encouraging side, a lot of fans have been talking, where's Tracy Walker? Where's Tracy Walker? Tracy Walker played 100% of the snaps this weekend. As opposed to Will Harris, who had been playing like 70%. They cut him down to 29%. And Jared Davis, who has just cannot seem to get the NFL speed, for the first time in his career, did not start while healthy, and he only played 15 snaps. So you looked at, okay, so they got Tracy Walker in there. They let Jamie Collins do his thing. It kind of felt like it started to click defensively. Granted, still no pass rush, but secondary-wise, it felt like a different game for the Lions, at least to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so huge that Coleman's on the IR still.
Oh, yeah, and that's huge. Coleman, I think Trufant may be back this week, which...
You bet they need him.
They need him back, and they need Coleman back. The good news is going into this week, we play a surprisingly losing Saints team right now, 1-2. And kind of a fun stat here, I'm not trying to get my hopes up, but the next 8 opponents for Lions have a combined record of 6-18.
Oh, well, there you go.
And we go into the bye week.
That's a legitimate number.
That's a legitimate number. And they go into the bye week next week after the Saints game. So you start to look at the Saints team this past weekend against the Packers. Alvin Kamara is absolutely a problem for whoever plays against him. He absolutely diced up the Packers. Drew Brees is kind of starting to show his age a little bit. I think he's, what, 42, 43? Something like that. But he's definitely starting to show his age a little bit. No, Michael Thomas absolutely helps.
That's massive right now for a team whose secondary is gutted.
Exactly. So if the Lions can stop Kamara, hopefully Michael Thomas does not play this weekend, then I think Jared Cook is banged up, so he's their stud tight end. So that really leaves you with Emmanuel Sanders, which Drew Brees is still really working out a relationship with. It's optimistic. I mean, it, considering where I was at last week to now, I feel better. I'm still not optimistic about this Lions team. I'm still on that bandwagon, though, that Matt Patricia needs to go until proven otherwise. This past week was a catalyst to improving, but it'll probably be the most Lions things ever. We'll finish 8-8 and just miss the playoffs. So,
yeah, that would be very on brand for the Lions.
So I don't know, man. Jordan, what do you think about Lions, NFL in general?
I think the NFL has been, well, one thing has just been ravished by injuries, mm-hmm. and the Lions the same way. I mean, we talked about Coleman going to the IR, and it just seems like nobody can stay healthy anywhere. But the only thing that does present is with all these injuries, it opens things up. I mean, we watched Monday Night Football with Chiefs Ravens last night, and that was a great game. But otherwise, you've seen a lot of just games. I mean, the Falcons have blown 2 double-digit leads already this year. I mean, Lions fans, send some love down to Atlanta because their fans really need some love right now.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy. They didn't even have Julio last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I think the level of parity in the NFL this year will be at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. And the Lions, I mean, I sit and watch every game and say, how are they going to blow it this week?
You do. I mean, text me every time.
It's just – it's SOL, same old Lions. So I'll believe it when I see it. I just hope they don't ruin another draft pick, like you said, because I can already see the writing on the wall of 8-8 and missing the playoffs and having a shitty draft pick for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But hopefully we're wrong here. Hopefully this is the catalyst for major improvement for this Lions team, maybe saving Bob Quinn, Matt Patricia. But the big test is this weekend, seeing if they can stop Drew Brees and Kamara.
Yeah, that'll be a big stepping stone. If they win that game, then they have a shot. If they lose that game, it's tank for Trevor.
Oh man, you and tank for Trevor, man.
Hey,
he's going to the Jets, man. Jets are
poor guy.
No, my goodness,
poor guy. So I don't know. You got any other NFL thoughts, or do you want to go ahead and close this thing down?
Man. I think I'm ready to close this down.
Okay. Well, like Lane said in the intro, thank you to everybody for coming back and listening to us. We are back in our full form. Thank you to Watershed Voice for helping us with everything they do. If you are not a subscriber to Watershed Voice, we do recommend reaching out to them. At least give them a look, see what you think. It's all local news. It's good to help support anything local. And if you haven't already, you need to subscribe to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast on any platform. We are out there on everything, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, everything. Any platform you listen to podcasts on, you should be able to find us. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter also. Lane's pretty good about the Facebook posts. He likes to drop things on there, especially when the Lions lose. Twitter, we're not quite as active on. I'll try to be a little better about the Twitter stuff. But, yeah, anywhere you want to find us on social media, we're out there. And we would appreciate the follow, subscribe. And if you can't do any of those things, tell one friend to listen.
Yep, absolutely.
Especially now with the local stuff. Hey, maybe your kid gets a shout out on our podcast. You know, as a high school kid, that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's pretty cool with us being able to cover some local stuff. I would love to be able down the road, maybe get a hold of some coaches, do some interviews before some big games, maybe get a hold of some players, do some interviews that way. So I definitely want to thank Watershed Voice for giving us the opportunity to partner with them. I think this opens a lot of doors for both of us. And, again, thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back same time, same place next week. So go green.
Go blue.